CliffCentral.com.
What I want us to talk about is collectomania. And every Monday we talk collectomania. It's where we get someone who's got an interesting collection and we ask them to share their passion and their enthusiasm for that collection with us. And this morning is no different. It's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And again, it bears repeating that if you'd invested in gold or you'd invested in platinum or silver, you'd be in a better position now than if you'd invested in Bitcoin or in the stock market or in property. Just remember that, because it's quite an interesting thing to keep in the back of your mind. And if you're thinking it's time to invest in gold, then these are the people to talk to, the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. Let's talk to Zaid Motala, who's on the line. Hey, Zaid, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. How are you doing?
Nice to see you, dude. Now, first of all, I've got to compliment you on your Comic-Con hoodie that you're wearing. I didn't even know that this was something
Thank you so much.
I know. This is very cool. I didn't know that you were a big comic dude. And I mean, this is really, really cool. I just want to talk about that part of your collection before we get onto all the others, because you also collect action figures, Funko Pops, and we've had someone on with action figures and Funko Pops before, but comics are huge. This is an immense and enormous and a very influential market, and the people who collect comics are very serious collectors. So how did it all start for you?
Oh, man, I think we got to go all the way back to then. Sorry, one second.
No problem.
I'm speaking to the legend, Gareth Clift. I'm so nervous at the moment, you know.
It's insane. Good to have you on.
I think it must have started somewhere in the 90s there. My parents would give me like 7 rand of allowance every month. Then you'd run on to the Checkers and get the cheapest thing you could find, which was these knockoff comics back then. And slowly but surely, as I a little bit more than 7 rand a month, I was very fortunate to come across some local comic book stores here, and then the madness just took over, and now we are a few boxes of comics in, I would say.
So first of all, I mean, have you been to Comic-Con in the US, or have you been to the local one? Because we have a Comic-Con in South Africa. I don't think it's happened for the last 2 years, obviously. How big is that community?
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. So I haven't had the privilege of going to any of the ones in the US. It's on the cards, fingers crossed. And the one here in South Africa, I'm very, very fortunate to be a little bit involved with the organization of it. And I got to tell you, at our last show in 2019, actually, we saw about close on 8,000 people come through over the weekend. And definitely hoping for similar numbers later this year in September. And I'm hoping we'll see you there. I mean, it's going to be massive. Yeah. You're going to love it.
And people dress up, right? And they come in like cosplay outfits, and it sounds really cool. So Deathrun and Threads says Comic-Con this year is in September. It's going to be awesome. Is that right? It's in September. It's in Joburg?
That's correct. Yes, that's right. 22nd to 25th of September at NASREC.
All right, so this is a very specialized and complicated area of collecting, because there are comics that I've seen news stories about that have been sold for millions of dollars, like original first editions that are still in the plastic that no one has ever actually paged through, because the more pristine they are, the more valuable they are. And then there are people who are just into the comics themselves. They like to read them. They like to look at them. They love the illustrations. It's the best way to learn to speak for some people, to learn to read for some people. I know people who don't read books, but they love comics. Are you serious about this, or is it just like a fun hobby?
Look, I would say that it varies depending on what's going on. So more often than not, I would like to say I'm fairly serious about it. But look, the second you lose sight of the fact that it's really supposed to be a form of entertainment and honestly escape in some ways, then you, to my humble mind, you're losing the plot a little bit. So I would say I'm somewhere in the middle of the spectrum.
Okay.
I'm definitely serious about speculating with some high-end books, but at the same time, I just genuinely love the stories and art, like you alluded to.
All right. So what made you take an interest in comics? Because you could easily have just gone with the action figures or the Funko Pops. What is it about comics that makes you happy and excited?
I think it's one of those things where it's an easy entry point. I mean, currently you're looking at about 50, 60 bucks to get your monthly fix. And the stories are always evolving. So what happens is you get a story arc. Once that's complete, there's usually a new creative team coming in, and then they take the story in a whole different direction. And just sort of having these different characters on these different journeys, and you are sort of in the passenger seat with them through that, it's really, really an amazing thing. I mean, imagine having a Marvel blockbuster running through your brain every 25 days, you know, in the form of a comic book. It's just a phenomenal experience to have. So for me, it's the longevity of the stories, the characters, and just the art form as a whole that really got me plugged in there.
Well, you mentioned like blockbusters. How many comics have become like these massive, massive successful movie franchises? I wonder if people like Stan Lee ever had any idea when they started their career that they would end up producing a slew of films that are now unassailable at the box office. It's like, you know, if you don't have a Marvel or a DC movie, you're just not going to make money at this stage anywhere in the world. These are the most successful movies in the world right now.
It's obscene to think. I think that way back in the when Stan Lee, for example, was creating Spider-Man, I read an interview some years back where he said that, look, at that point, they were just trying to compete in the market with what we now know as DC Comics. Mm. And over the years, just the cultural zeitgeist has become such that people are now looking for these larger-than-life characters, and that's the reason why people are plugging in. And it's so interesting and so exciting that you actually mentioned how many books have become, these blockbusters, or rather the influence for some of these blockbusters, because at the moment, and if you don't mind, I'd love to share this with you.
Sure.
There's Thor, Love and Thunder, that's coming out in a couple of days' time. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years back, I lucked out and speculated on a certain Thor story.
Oh,
and
wow.
These comic books over here, a couple of these, have actually become the core of the Thor story. Sorry, that was a terrible, terrible line. I do apologize.
Just hold those up. Hold those up close to the camera. Let's just have a look at those. That looks great.
Sure. So there's this one over here, and there's this one over here.
Wow.
And there's this one over here. And there are a couple that I didn't go and take out of storage because I'm worried that my nerves over here could make me squash because, oh my God, this guy clips a little crazy. So we just leave those ones aside.
All right. So tell us quickly, because you've shown us those three Thor ones, but how big is your collection at the moment? How many comics do you have?
Ooh, I hope my mom and wife are not watching, but close on about 10,000 now.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah. You might say things got a little out of hand somewhere along the way, but yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a madness. It's a disease, but it's the best kind.
What is your most valuable one? Can you tell us, or would you rather keep that secret?
No. I really would love for people to sort of have the same sort of love and passion I do. So I think in terms of monetary value, one of the ones I'm comfortable sharing is my first appearance of Ghost Rider. So you may recall a couple of years back, a guy with the flaming scarlet motorbike, So I've got the first appearance of that character. But honestly, for me, there's also an emotional aspect in it. So I would have to say that, monetary value aside, personal value would probably have to be this book. This is a copy of Batman number 50, and it's got art that I actually did. And at the last Comic-Con, I was able to get signed by all of the guests.
Oh,
so for me, this book here represents a moment in time for me, because some of my favorite artists actually, looked at my art, appraised it, gave me tips and pointers, and then each of them wrote a little message about it for me, And it was just, that's what Comic-Con is for me. That's what comic collecting is for me. And this year is just one of those.
So,
people throw around the term grail very loosely.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But this is cool. So you're also an artist. I mean, you draw your own. That's very cool.
I dabble.
That's not a small thing. That's very, very cool. All right. So I know Leanne's probably got some questions as well, but how do you store these comics? I mean, where do you keep them? Because you can't just put them on the shelf with a bunch of books that get bent or squeezed or someone messes something on the shelf, and then you suddenly have like a really valuable comic that's worth nothing because it's got a tea stain on it or something.
Funny story that actually happened to me once, and that was awkward, but There's various ways. What's really awesome about comic book collecting here in South Africa is that when you go to the stores, they actually do you the favor of popping comic books into these bags and boards. So that's like a very basic level of protection.
Okay.
Then you can upscale a little bit. I'm going off on a tangent there. But you get these things they call top loaders, so you can pop them in, that stores them. This year is slabbing, so it's CGC, and this is where they encase the entire thing in sort of this plastic slab, so it's like really, really solid. Wow. And then, of course, you get special comic book boxes. You pop them in, and those go into storage. So Jesus. That's sort of like the hierarchy and scale of things.
There's a whole world of just
But like that
storage.
One that you've just shown us with yes. the entirely enclosed. Can you open that?
You could. You probably shouldn't, you know. But
okay, so it's like you would need to use a pair of scissors.
Probably pliers and a hammer, but yeah, wow. It's really, really, really solid. So, this style of doing things, if you have what they call a key comic book, so a book that's probably going to end up in value a bit or something that's really, you know, special to you, then it's probably worth getting it encapsulated like this, because what this does is it actually preserves the integrity of the book. It has a little acid sleeve in there, so even the ink and stuff, it doesn't cause the paper to deteriorate. So in terms of longevity, this is probably the way to go in terms of saving your books.
It's amazing.
But that does mean that you can't page through it and read it, right?
Yes, 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 yes. But fortunately, now in 2022, that is, you find that it's really, really easy to get facsimile versions of books. So those are sort of cheaper reader versions. So if you really, really want to speculate in books, then it's probably wiser to keep your high-end valuable books in sort of a protective casing. Mm. And if you really wanted to read it, then you can get those easily at any of the local comic book stores here. So those are essentially reprints of, I'm going to say, those key books.
It's amazing. So they lose.
And so now,
go ahead,
do you read comics only, or do you? Sorry, there's a bit of a delay because I'm using my hotspot on my phone. Mm-hmm. Do you use, you know, read these comic books all the time? Not the ones, you know. I'm talking about the subscriptions that you have every month. Mm-hmm. Is that all mm-hmm. you read, or do you read other sorts of literature?
Oh, no. I do read, for my day job, you know, there's a fair amount of research and author that goes into it. So there's obviously a lot of reading there. I still read for leisure, and nowhere on the level of Gareth, obviously. I mean, I saw the video about his book collection, and that is tough to aspire to, sir. That's tough to aspire to. One day when I'm a big boy, one day, you know. But really, really speaking, you know, reading, I think one of the many reasons why I go into comic books is, you know, there was a slogan back in the 90s where comic book reading is reading too. And so, you know, it was really a nice way to actually plug into, and Gareth alluded to this earlier, it's a way to actually get people to read. And I just sort of got stuck into it a couple of decades later.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, it's like audio. I grew up listening to audio tapes, that, you know, with the books. Mm. And that was so important in teaching me, you know, the sound and the words as I'm reading them.
Yeah.
And that got me reading, physically reading, before I was even at school. And something awesome. Like comic books can do the same thing
Absolutely.
For kids.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, when I ask if it's all you read, I think it's fantastic. And it's good that it's out there.
So Ethan says here, your most valuable comic has your own art plus so many incredible signatures. You are a legend. A lot of people here asking all kinds of questions,
oh, thank
too.
Thank you so much, Ethan.
This is amazing. MM says, a friend of mine who's 72 died last year in a house full of comic books. Paramedics struggled to open the door. It is such a valuable and rare collection. If anyone is interested in Amsterdam. Oh, I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of people who'd be interested now, MM. So, you know what? Maybe send us an
I'd
email.
Be interested.
Yeah. Because there are people who'd pay a lot of money
I'd
for that.
I'd be interested.
Have you...
MM does add, though, interested in the collection, not the dead body.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Important distinction. Very important distinction.
That's great. Does exposure to light over time fade the comics?
It is possible, yes. So UV light actually does cause a little bit of bleaching. So what you actually get is, and I think there's actually a secondary market now just in terms of how to store your stuff. So you do get some, you know, some protectors like this that actually have UV screening on it. And so that they actually prevents the UV light from bleaching it out. But yeah, it's probably wise not to have your stuff in direct sunlight. If I may be so bold, just behind me over here with my display stuff, on the screen doors at the side of there to the study, there is actually a UV filter over there just to block it. So you've got to look after your
stuff. That's very impressive. It's very impressive. I mean, it's like some libraries. They have these rooms that are sealed off where, you know, they control what the gases in the air are. And they also have no light, no natural light coming in. And very careful amounts of light that are introduced into the room in terms of the actual lights in the ceiling. So if you're serious about the stuff, you have to think about these things, right?
Indeed. You know, the entire thing, you know, it's so funny that there's an entire value chain that goes into the collecting and the storage and the protection. And now there's a whole debate in South Africa about, okay, look, how do you go about insuring it? Because do you specify each item, or do you just, you know, technically you can't call it household contents, even though it is content. But that's an ongoing debate with the guys from one of the insurance companies. But this is the beauty of it. And what I love about any sort of collecting is that, you know, when you really plug into it, it actually adds so many different layers. It's so nuanced. It's such a wonderful thing to have a means of escaping, or rather accentuating the human experience, just so long as it doesn't go all kinds of, you know,
crazy.
Creaky there, where you lose the plot. You know, you got to watch out for that. So this is very, very fine line.
Something we have to ask you, because it comes up with a lot of our collectors. You mentioned you got a wife and a family. Now, do they give you trouble about your collecting? Because your collecting could become a bit of an obsession. And I see you have this beautiful room with all your display cabinets and things there. How far have you gone down the rabbit hole of becoming a wacky nutcase collector, and have your family complained?
No. Fortunately, you know, at any given point in time, my mom is around to have that intervention that say, this is an intervention, no more toys, you know. No, but I just. I think that, you know, the problem with any sort of collecting, you know, you can't lose sight of the fact that, look, this is one aspect of your life. It shouldn't supplant, like I said, the whole human experience. So in our household, my wife and I, we discuss these things. We have a budget. We look at these things. And, you know, what I find is there's never going to be a day, you know, where I'm going to be there. Okay, no, listen, honey, we cannot go out for supper because I need to buy the new issue of Harley Quinn, for example. You know, it's about having a balance. It's about, you know, saying to yourself, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And you got a plan. You know, you got a plan. So,
and Zaid, I mean, I haven't lost it quite yet.
Yes.
Isn't it also true that some of these have been very good investments for you? You may have actually made more money. We were joking earlier about how people who bought Bitcoin and who were buying stocks a year ago thought they were in a good position, and actually it ended up
NFTs.
It ended up being good to buy gold instead. Are there comics there that you know have improved in value that were a really good investment?
Yes, without a doubt. If you would permit me, can I show you one? Because I wanted to talk about it. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, 100%. Yeah. So this is a comic now. It's Originals. Let's get this angle right. Original Sin, issue number 4, Amazing Spider-Man. So this was a miniseries some years back. And in this book, they introduce a new character called Silk in the Spider-Man universe. Uh-huh. And now what we're seeing, there's a lot of apps and you can check on eBay. What we're seeing is this book is actually trending up in value a fair amount because there's going to be a series that's coming out soon. So what we've seen in recent years is, because of the movies, because of the series and everything we're seeing in, you know, popular media generally, like you said earlier, a lot of these stories influence these things. So you find that when an announcement is made, these things start blowing up in value. I'm not sure if you've gotten Disney Plus, but there's a series they call Miss Marvel. And I was very fortunate to get 2 copies of her first appearance a little while back. And now I'm just watching that trend and I'm like, okay. and that, and again, you know, I hope my wife is not watching at this exact moment, because between us and about the couple, many, many people that watch this, I just. What you find now is that's always my justification. I'm like, no, love, you see, this thing over here, if you spend $100 on it now and we buy 10, a little way down the line, it's going to be worth more. Look at this one. And she's like, nope, not buying any of that. Nope. Come on. And that's why. But yeah. it has been really good for me and a lot of my peers, my friends. And look, it's just a wonderful, the value aside, and you'll forgive me, but the value, monetary value aside, it's really awesome to have a hobby that on a monthly basis, the expenditure isn't that much, relatively speaking. It gives you entertainment. It's, you know, it's, and then there's a side effect that it may actually go up in value later. So I would say love comic books, love the things you collect for, the yeah. fact that you love it, and not necessarily because it may go up in value, because that's sure. a very easy way
no, to start I mean, losing the block. Otherwise you would be just a gambler, a speculator. You know, you're just looking for anything that would go up in value.
Yes.
This is much more about the yes. passion that you yes. have for this. So first of all, Dathron and Threads wants to know, are you an exhibitor this year or just visiting Comic-Con?
No, like I said, I'm very fortunate to be assisting with the organization of the show. So I'll actually be hosting a couple panels and some fan events. But I'll definitely be there.
And this is a good point, too, made by Corona's Boring. Every time someone spills tea on a rare comic, the others all gain value. That's true, right? Because then there's one very less. True. There's one very less true. In circulation. So how do they work these? Because comics can be printed. So you would think, well... Yes. Why don't they just print 100,000 of every comic and then none of them will have value? Do they have limited editions that have a very limited run, for example? So they'll only print like 10,000 or 1,000 or whatever. And that's what makes them valuable.
Okay. Yes. So what you found is, okay, so, and you'll forgive me because I don't want to sound too exclusionary when I explain this, but it's something that I feel would help people if they understood. So
sure.
Essentially, what you find is a lot of value comes in the older comic books. So there's different periods. So there's the golden era, silver era, bronze era. We're currently in the modern era of comic books now.
Okay.
And what you find is that the golden era, silver era, and bronze era, those books, because now comic books back in those days, it wasn't really something that where people were going to buy it and then, you know, keep it in a slab and all of that. It was literally something you bought, you read, and you probably lined your birdcage with it, that kind of thing. So because there are fewer of them, horror stories, my friends, right? Because there are fewer of those, there's scarcity, supply and demand, simple sure. economics. So there's fewer of them in existence, therefore those are worth more. Nowadays, what you're finding is a lot of value comes from the first appearances, the so-called key issues, shall I say. And what happens there is the speculative market works such that people figure, okay, this is going to be coming up, we're probably going to see something, let me go buy that. Now, the comic book companies, how they print these out is they have interest lists and you can pre-order them. So based on the pre-orders they get in some cases and the minimum orders that they generally have for certain titles, that sort of averages out. So you would do a lot better if you wanted to invest in comics. You would do a lot better if you could save up some and then look for the older era books, because there's definitely few of them in existence. And if you want to buy modern books purely for the speculative element of it, and I don't think anyone should do that, enjoy the stuff, then you should look for more of those key appearances and stuff like that.
Just quickly, what was the what's the golden era, what's the silver era, and what's the bronze era? I don't know anything about this. That sounds amazing.
Okay, 100%. So it's basically, I made some notes for you.
That's
so, because these are dates. So the golden era, it's from about 1938 to 1956. So if you think about it, when Superman first popped around, that started the golden era of comics. It is so incredibly difficult to find these books. Those are those books that are selling for the millions of dollars, you know, millions of dollars. It is insane. Then you get the silver era of books, which is from about 1956 to 1970. Right. Then you get the bronze era of books, which is 1970 to 1985. So a lot of my higher value books are from the bronze era also. You know, you can still sort of afford them, sort of, you know.
What's the most expensive
the modern era of books?
Is the golden era the most expensive? Are those comics worth just way more than the rest? So what's the most expensive one you've actually ever held in your hands?
Oof. Yeah, okay. So fortunately with Comic-Con, there have been a couple that, so I'm just trying to, in my mind, just sift through the values of there. But I would think that the first appearance of Wolverine, if I'm not mistaken. No. It was definitely the first appearance of Hulk. I'm sorry, so I'm embarrassing myself.
No,
many amazing ones I saw at the show. So it's the brain is sort of backfiring now. But that's the beauty of, you know, in this current day and age, you know, exposure to these things, it's so much easier now because people understand, okay, listen, there are millions of people who actually love and enjoy this lifestyle, this hobby, and therefore exposure is slightly better. So, yeah.
Wow, wow.
Okay. I'm still stuck on that one. I'm still stuck on that one.
but this is so cool. I mean, the fact that this stuff has become like, and now that you can get together with a community of people who are also into this and you talk about Comic-Con, I mean, it's huge. This is a really, really big deal. Yes. I think it's fascinating to get into the origins of all of this, to see people get passionate about their collections. It's just great to hear you talk about it too, because honestly, Zaid, anyone who's a fanatic, a collector, I just love the passion, man.
Thank you, sir. That means the world to me. It's and you know what? The series that you're currently doing now, I gotta say, I'm simply loving it, because you know, to see that there are other people down other walks of life who are as plugged in and invested into something they love at that, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to witness and behold. So thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, listen, thank you for sharing your collection with us. Sure. And I hope we get to see you again. Someone here just said Zaid was the MC for the Brother Cosplay event a couple of weeks ago. Great entertainment. Yeah. So the people from your own cosplay community and the Comic-Con community all coming through here. We will probably have to talk to you about your action figures and Funko Pops at some point too. But for today, comics all over the place. And thank you so much, Zaid. It's nice to talk to you.
You as well, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. There it is, Zaid Mutalla and his unbelievable collection of comics. So if you have an interesting collection or you know someone who does, let us know about it, please. Contact@cliffcentral.com. And of course, Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You heard Zaid saying it's so cool to have people talk about their collections. We can all, even if we collect different things, share in that excitement and enthusiasm that we all have for this.
No toenails, please.
No toenail clippings, but everything else. You missed it because your internet cut out, but the Poozeum may be a feature on the Collectomania episode coming up soon. Poo Museum, which they call the Poozeum. So all of that's still stuff you have to look forward to.
Cliffcentral.com.